A federal judge ruled last week that Pierce County does not have to release the names and addresses of exotic dancers at a Tacoma nightclub. A man wanted to use the State Public Records Act to see the dancers' independent contractor licenses with their identifying information. The man said he wanted to pray for them. The dancers took the man to court on this. Seattle exotic dancer Kendra says she worries about her personal information being made publicly available.
I don't know what I would do if every guy who told me that he was in love with me had my phone number and could call me. And there's a big difference between being in a public environment where there are bouncers, where there are other people, where there are cameras, and some guy who decides that he wants to hurt a woman who works in a profession that society doesn't see as being very respectful. And it's a slippery slope that at best might just get us, you know, a couple of phone calls, but at worst could actually end up ruining someone's life or ending it.
Why does government require exotic dancers to have licenses? Well, Marcy Silman asked Melinda Chatevere, author of Sex Workers Unite, A History of the Movement from Stonewall to Slut Walk. Chatevere says the government has a track record and a tradition of monitoring sex workers.
Tracking sex workers has been going on for a very, very long time. And it's certainly the case that now with this surveillance state that we've allowed to develop, the police are even more scrutinizing sex workers even more than they had in the past. There's now this tracking that's also being computerized in databases and everything else that is just making it very difficult for anybody who engages in sex work, even as a dancer, which is perfectly legal, legitimate work, as though they're tagged and being criminalized simply for doing a legal job.
Does that that idea of wanting to keep a database come out of the notion that this is illicit somehow, or is it more about worker the status of like a license, like a hair cutter?
No, I think actually it has more to do with a paternalistic view of the police, as though they are able to, quote, protect people in the sex industry. And that gets connected up with the ideas around trafficking, that everybody in the sex industry must obviously be trafficked in order to work there rather than choosing to do so out of their own volition. Or on the second level of it, to be concerned about, to say that they are concerned when sex workers are the victims of crime, particularly of murders and serial killers. And as you may know, Northwest is a little bit notorious for that.
You're talking about the Green River Killer.
And several others, actually. Yes, yes, the Green River Killer and others. So that there seems to be some sort of paternalistic motive in the sense, well, if we find a body, this is the only way we're going to be able to identify them.
I'm talking with Melinda Chatevere. She's the author of Sex Workers Unite. The dancers in Tacoma have business licenses because they're independent contractors. So why are they contractors and not employees?
It's a ruse by the industry in order to pay their workers less. This all began in the 1990s when, as you may remember, many workers were being, if not offshored, their jobs themselves were being contracted out to private entities. And the strip club owners were just as aware of what was going on in the larger labor force and said, hey, we can do the same thing. So, of course, let's hire these people as independent contractors. That way we are not going to be responsible for their, not only for their benefits, but also it became a way of protecting themselves in that era of policing from charges of running houses of prostitution. So this was their way of saying, well, she doesn't actually work for me. She's doing all of this on her own. They're turning tricks in the champagne room, but I'm not telling them they have to do that. However, it's also important to know that in the past 5 years, there have been a series of lawsuits, almost all of which the clubs have lost, where dancers have sued to say, we are not contract employees. We have to show up on time for a particular shift. We have to pay fines if we don't show up. There are all sorts of ways that, in fact, our work is as employees, not as contractors. And the courts are finding that, yes, the strip clubs are violating the law.
So that I would assume then that those dancers then are subject to all the labor laws and minimum wage statutes and things that are in place in the locale where they work?
Absolutely, as well as all OSHA standards. I mean, think about all the different laws that employers must follow.
I recall years ago in San Francisco when prostitutes unionized for the first time. I think that union was called Coyote. Why aren't exotic dancers unionizing in the same way?
But they are unionizing.
Ah.
Actually, the first women workers in the sex industry to unionize were the Playboy Bunnies. And that actually began in the 1960s because that was the era of Hugh Hefner and the Bunny Clubs. Mm-hmm. And they were mostly members of the Teamsters Union or the hotel and restaurant employees. So unionization is a long struggle that's been going on. And there have been other areas, too, where unionization has taken place. Massage parlors, for example. Most notably, the Lusty Lady in San Francisco unionized under the SEIU. There are other places that have tried to unionize. This is the other reason why the contract employee ruse is very important, because it does prevent workers from being able to unionize because they're independent.
I'm talking with Melinda Chateauvert. She's the author of Sex Workers Unite. Just 3 hours or so south of Seattle, Portland has more strip clubs per capita than any city in the country, according to some sources. And now I understand the state of Oregon has stepped forward into the vanguard of enacting new laws that involve exotic dancers. Do you know what's going on there? Can you explain it?
Dancers in the Portland area have actually stepped in and said no, and worked with legislators and officials about what kinds of labor laws and labor protections they actually need to make their jobs safe, to ensure that they are not exploited by the clubs in which they're working, and that they are able to do their jobs without having extra expectations put on them. There's been a long history of anti-pornography, anti-sex work organizing on the part of conservatives to get rid of adult-oriented businesses. And they're the groups that have been, you know, advocating that the zoning laws be used and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, these are the dancers who are coming back and saying these laws really aren't doing what you think they're doing. And if you want them to make sure that this industry is on the up and up, we're the ones that know how to do that, and we should have a voice in that process.
So what you're talking about, this is the first place where in the United States that you know of where
yes.
dancers have initiated those types of regulations as opposed to having them imposed from some other point of view legally.
Exactly.
So in the course of talking to you and listening to this, what I'm hearing is sort of the general theme is that there are localized efforts to unionize, localized efforts to protect people who are working as exotic dancers, as strippers in the sex industry. But really, there's no big national push that would encompass this, you know, in all 50 states.
There's no national push because most of the ordinances under which strip clubs operate are actually local ordinances. So it gets to be quite difficult to figure out how everything goes. Of course, state national laws on labor are a little different. But in fact, there is quite a bit of conversation among dancers all over the country and outside of the U.S. as well. But this is, something that is going on, and it's, I think, very exciting because perhaps it's not following a national lead. It's what dancers are doing for themselves and making laws for themselves and trying to make sure that they're all protected wherever it is they're working.
Well, Melinda, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That's Melinda Chateauvert, author of Sex Workers Unite, A History of the Movement from Stonewall to Slut Walk. She spoke with Marcy Silman. It's The Record on KUOW.